In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. The Word of God, which is able to help us, which is able to divide the soul from the spirit, the precious Word of God. I'm looking at the 10th chapter of St. Mark, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." We remember James and John were cleaning their nets. They were with their father, and Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And they left everything to follow Jesus. And you know, they have witnessed the great an outpouring of miracles through Christ. They've seen blind Bartimaeus healed. They've seen the deaf hearing. They've seen the dead rise from the dead. They've seen everything. They've seen the people following Jesus because he's Dr. Jesus. They've seen the Lord expel demons. They've seen all these things. And yet, they are vying for places next to Jesus when he comes in his glory. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Jesus himself knows that something is wrong. So Jesus replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" And they answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup, that's the cup of suffering that I drink, and be baptized in the baptism of suffering, the baptism of blood that I am baptized in?" And they said to him, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." You see, this is why Jesus had to die. This is why Jesus had to die, because this part of man is still looking for himself. This part of humanity is still thinking not the way the Lord thinks, put on the mind of Christ, but thinking the way people think. You see, I want to sit at your left and my brother at your right. And in Luke's gospel, we have the mother of Zebedee coming up and say, "Let my children sit, one at your left and one at your right." Jesus had to die because he had to absorb and break sin. He had to absorb and break sin. This is like sin. You know, they don't understand that Jesus came to serve and not to be served, that Jesus is not into positions, but Jesus is into obedience. Jesus is into giving himself to the Father. Jesus is into getting his apostles to be like him. And so he had to die to absorb this part of humanity, which is called sin, Jesus drew within himself. The first reading of Sunday said, "The Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light of the fullness of days, and through his suffering my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear." Jesus had to die. You see, his ministry was beautiful. Healing and delivering and preaching, it was beautiful. But I can tell you, it wasn't enough. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw you, John, and you, James, to myself. I will take all that part of you that wants to vie for power, and I will take that to myself, and I will break it. I will break it as you confess your sins. I will break it because, you see, I know why I came. I came to serve and not be served. You remember, people, what Jesus did on the night before he died. What did he do? He took a cloth or he took a towel and he wrapped it around himself. And he started to wash the feet of the disciples as a slave. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Peter says, you cannot wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, I have nothing to do with you, and you have nothing to do with me. I tell you, then Peter said, not only my feet, but my hands as well, and my face as well. But listen. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, what does he mean if I don't wash you? It's more than washing the feet of John and James and Peter. If I don't wash you in my blood, you have no part of me. If I don't shed my blood for you, you have no part in me. Yes, the washing of the feet is kind of symbolic of what Jesus is going to do the next day as a slave, because the slave dies on the cross. He is going to wash them clean with the blood that he shed from his Sacred Heart. I'm telling you, this is reality. This is reality. Jesus washes the disciples through shedding his blood, through shedding his blood for us. The blood of Jesus speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel called for justice. The blood of Jesus calls for charity. The blood of Jesus calls those things to be that are not as if they are. That's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that went into Calvary brought healing to the nations and healing to the people. I just had a man who was with me, and this is an interesting thing because I have been praying for him. This is my third time I've prayed for him. And this man has cancer of the brain, and he says, please, let's not end these meetings. And I said, why? He says, because you know what? Last night, I remembered what I ate, and I remembered this morning what I ate last night. That's something new. My brain wouldn't remember things like that. And I remember what I ate on the night before. He said, and when you pray with me, I feel power. I feel warmth. I feel serenity. Serenity, like I just want to go to sleep. And that's what happens. I said, when is your next CAT scan? He said, in 2 months. I said, well, we have to see what's going to happen. Of course, you can come back. The man is saying, you know, Father Tom, they have given me no hope. They have given me no hope. But I'm telling you, the hope is in the blood of Jesus. The hope is in the blood that was shed on Calvary. The hope is in the power of the resurrection. That's where our hope is in. The hope is in what Jesus does for us through his death and through his resurrection. That is what where our hope is to be found. No place else. No place else. The hope isn't in me because I have no power of my own. The hope is in Jesus. He said, you know, it's radiation coming from your hand, radiating the tumor. I said, I have no idea. I have no idea what's happening. The only thing I can do is say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful Spirit of Jesus. Come, Spirit of wisdom. Come, Spirit of love. Come, Spirit of healing. Come, Spirit of the Father. Come, Holy Spirit. That's all I can do. And then I can say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Christ, Be healed of this infirmity. Be healed of this tumor. By the blood of Christ, be healed now in Jesus' name. He says, listen, Father Tom, this is a great thing that I can remember what I ate last night. He said, I used to agonize thinking I can't remember what I ate last night. So I asked him, I said, what did you eat last night? He said, my cousin, I believe, brought me this Italian soup with the little pieces of pasta in it. I said, oh yeah, that's certainly Italian. They call it wedding soup, I know. You know, my mother used to have little meatballs in with it too. But let me tell you, he says, but I remember what I ate. That's so great. Imagine, that's so great. What God does for us and we're ungrateful. Like I can see across the bay right now with my eyes. I can see. And we take these things for granted. So he says, when can I come back again? So I gave him a date when he could come back again. This is wonderful. This is what Jesus knows how to do. This is what Jesus knows how to do. I'm really wondering, what will the CAT scan say? I have no idea. Because I have no healing power. I know who does. His name is Jesus. And you see, James and John had to be drawn into the Sacred Heart of Jesus so that all that self-love, which is not of God, I'm not saying love yourself is bad, but that self-love that I want to be first, I want to sit at your right hand, I want to sit at your left hand, that self-love had to be literally drawn into the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus says, the answer, grant that the cup that I drink, will you drink? And the baptism with which I am baptized, will you be baptized? We can, Jesus said to them. So the cup you will be baptized, you will drink, and the baptism you will take part in. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but for those for whom it has been prepared. Now when the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. When the 10, now you know, this is wrong too. They became indignant because they were probably all thinking the same thing. You know, that's sinful flesh. That's sarx. S-A-R-X, sarx. That's the flesh. And you see, the flesh gets angry at the two who had the courage to ask. I'm telling you, Jesus had to die. He had to absorb the sin of the world. He had to absorb the sin of the disciples. That all these disciples would drink of the cup of suffering that Jesus drank. They will die, all but St. John. And all of them will be baptized in blood. They will be martyrs. And they won't be thinking, I want to sit at your right and I want to sit at your left. They won't be thinking that. They'll be thinking, how can I better serve the kingdom of God? How can I better serve Jesus Christ? When the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus summoned them and said to them, you know those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles. They lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be a slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, not for all, for many, for many, for many. In other words, I have come as the servant, and you know what? You haven't learned it yet. You haven't learned it yet. That's why I've got to go to the cross. The Son of Man has come to serve and not be served. And I want my apostles to know that that's how they are to live. You know, do we live that way in the church? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. And it's not a bad story. It's just the story of the way we do things, okay? When I was ordained a deacon, I went to this most beautiful parish with the most beautiful pastor. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. I'm going to tell you, he really helped me as a man of God. This guy helped me so much. He was so beautiful. He allowed me to do all the things that God was doing through me, and he was not offended by what God was doing in me. God worked through him, and he knew that God had been working through me in a different way, and he encouraged me. But I was given an attic room, and the thing that came to me, see, I loved the attic room because, you know what, I was off the kitchen, and if the phone rang, I could just answer the phone, and I wasn't in the main part of the house. But you see, it was the worst room in the house, not for me, as a matter of fact. It was the best room for me. But you see, we do things the way the world does things. You know, I should have got the best room in the house, not because of me, but because Jesus said, I have come to serve and not be served. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come to wash people's feet and to wash the souls of people with my precious. But listen, listen. The first among you shall be the slave of all. I'm telling you, my friends, that this is anti-flesh. This is against the flesh. The flesh says, well, you know what? I'm 66 years old and I deserve to have this. Honey, you deserve to have nothing. You are called to be a servant. You are called to be a slave. You are called to love Jesus. You are called to serve the people. You are called to wash people's feet. I went out on Saturday to the poor, and we fed the poor. There were so many of them. So many of them. And you know, that's what we're called to do, to care for the poor, to feed them, to pray with them, to go where they are. We've been doing this for about 8 years. Every Saturday, I just started to go out. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't do anything other than sit next to the coffee. And they come up to me and they ask me to bless them, or they ask me to bless a rosary bead or whatever. Not very many, but they know that I'm there. As a matter of fact, one day when I went out there, they had prepared for me a birthday card, and they all signed it. I don't know how they found out it was my birthday, but they all signed the card, and it said, your brothers and sisters who are homeless. And I'm thinking, my Lord, they're thinking about me. And they're homeless. They're sleeping under bridges. And they're thinking about me. This is phenomenal that they would think, like, who am I that these kids, these people that are homeless would think about me? And that's exactly what they did. And they, you know, they came up to me. Happy birthday, Father Tom. Happy birthday. Thank you, Father Tom, for what you people do here. You know, it's totally amazing. It's totally amazing. I don't know if we have too many converts, but I know we have justice, that these people are in need of food and in need of caring. And the people that have been going for years know them by name, and they have conversations with them. You know, they're not walking away from them because they're on the street. They have conversations with them. I'm telling you, that's the way Jesus would act. Jesus would not only be feeding them, he'd be healing them, and he'd be opening their hearts to that great love of the Father. And that's what we try to do, but you can't force it on people. Yesterday I was in the Market Basket, or I should say 2 days ago, I was in the Market Basket, And I said to a lady, excuse me, and she must have recognized my voice. She said, are you Father? I said, Di Lorenzo. I said, yes, I am Father Di Lorenzo. And she looked at me, you know, she's like, would you pray with me? She didn't even say those words, but I saw her eyes. So I just put my hand on her head and I started to pray with her that the Lord would give her what she needed. I don't know what she needed. You know, it's not my business to know what she needed unless she wanted to tell me. And she was so happy that I would just bless her and pray with her in the meat department of the market basket. And let me tell you, I'll tell you that the prices of meat have gone up so much. They have gone up so much, like to the point that it's really impossible for families that are big to buy anything that's good. Anyway, I blessed the lady and I did what I needed to do, and she was more than happy. She was more than happy. I'm reading now from Hebrews 4:14-16. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why does the writer to the Hebrews tell them, remind them, that we have a great high priest, his name is Jesus, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he was high priest on the altar when he bled for us? Now he says, hold to your confession of faith. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Why does he say that? Because these Hebrew Christians are remembering the great beauty of the temple. The temple is still around during the time of Hebrews. And I'm going to tell you, they remembered how beautiful the liturgy was, how decked out the high priest was. They remembered all those things. And what are they left with? Bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. Hold fast to your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the King. And they have suffered persecution. You know, when you're persecuted, it's like, let me just tell you, you're either going to stay in or you're going to run out. And the writer to the Hebrews tells them, you know, hold fast to your confession of faith. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest who's similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. Our high priest knows exactly what you're going through today. He absorbed it on the cross. Whatever you are going through today, our high priest absorbed it and went through it. He is there to help you in the midst of your calamities. He understands you. He doesn't forsake you. He has tasted all the grief you're going through. You've lost the job. He knows what it is to supply for a family. He understands all those things because he absorbed them on the cross. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus has drawn you and all that you feel upon the cross into his sacred heart. And he is like us in all ways but sin. He did not sin. He is your great high priest. He is my great high priest. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Let us approach the throne of grace confidently. We can come into the Father's presence confidently. Here I am, Lord, I'm your son. Here I am, Lord, I'm your daughter. I need this, and I ask you, through the great high priest, that you would help me with this, because I'm suffering. Oh, Father, I come into your presence confidently. I don't come ashamed. I don't come guilty. I come close. clothed with the blood of the Lamb. I come clothed with Jesus Christ. I come clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Here I am, Lord. I'm your son. I am what Jesus is by nature. I am by grace. What Jesus is by nature, remember his identity was being the Son of God. That's where his identity was and is. He is the Son of God. But you know what? Your identity should be in being a child of God through grace, through the blood that was shed for you. Your identity is that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for you, and you are a son of God, and you are a daughter of God, and you can approach the throne of grace boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that as I approach the throne of grace, that you would heal people of infections, that you would heal people now of infections through the great high priest Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would heal people of tumors, especially in the brain. I pray, God, that you would heal people of tumors in the lungs. I pray, God, that all cancer would go in the name of Jesus by the power of his precious blood. We come before the throne of God. We come before the throne of God confidently that Jesus Christ has given his life for us, that Jesus Christ has died for us, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead for us. We come confidently before the throne of God. We do not cower. We do not act like frightened children, but we raise our hands and say, oh God, here I am, I'm your son, here I am, I'm your daughter. Oh, it was through the blood that I became your son. It was through the blood I became your daughter. Oh Father, here I am, here I am, Father, here I am. Jesus, you understand everything that I go through because you went through everything and did not sin. Jesus, take care of my brokenness. Take care of my heart. Take care of my sickness. Take care of my children that they'd be stop being addicted to drugs or alcohol. Take care of them, Lord. Do what I can't do. In the name of Jesus, Father, I approach the throne of grace with great glory. And I just want to remind you who you are. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You can approach the throne of God boldly, and you can just say, Lord, here I am. I'm one of your own. God, you've got to do it for me because the great high priest is at your right hand praying for me. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.